this is a chapter that all of us have really waited a lifetime to do. We do it not individually. We do it not as human beings, for it is more than a chapter. It is a message for the world, for which we happen to be a small part. It is a message to the world that there is a new kind of birth and a new kind of death and a new kind of life, and that there is a transition that can take place in an individual, preparing him for this new life, which is unsuspected by the mind of man. We are sitting on the threshold of a new age, a new consciousness, a new dimension of awareness. It is called New Jerusalem. And in order to have a feeling about the deep significance of this universal change that is taking place around us, we must remember that there was an old Jerusalem, a place where men came to pray. And if you were a Jew in those days, to you, Jerusalem meant God itself, for it was here that you would come and worship in a holy temple, and it was here that you would be united under the paternalism of the Divine Father. And if you were a good Jew, you would want to die and be buried in Jerusalem someday, for surely there was no greater reward for an individual than to be buried in the holy city. Now, all of this was the external worship of God. And in that very city of Jerusalem, there was one who knew of another kind of Jerusalem. It was not a temple made with hands. It was an inner temple, a temple of the soul. And this Jerusalem was the Jerusalem that he had come to preach. It was the mystical Jerusalem. It was the Jerusalem that could not be found in a physical world. And so he taught about the new Jerusalem in a different way, a way that even to this day men have not suspected existed. Throughout the Bible you notice that Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. And even the disciples are told to wait for me in Jerusalem. And going way back into the Old Testament, we find many references to going up to Jerusalem. And we find that everybody wasn't just going up to this holy city, but rather this was mysticism to explain that there is a place called conscious union with God. A place called Jerusalem, where you stand one with the Father, aware of an invisible kingdom, of an invisible power, of a place where there is no death, where time is no more, where life is without opposite. And every time the Bible tells us about going up to Jerusalem, it is a mystical reminder that there is a place where you can attain conscious union with God. Not in the external worship in the temple. For Jesus was really writing the obituary of external worship. Now, as the disciples were told to wait for the resurrected Jesus in Jerusalem, where they would receive the Holy Ghost, this appeared to be an external place, but actually it was to rest in the conscious awareness of the kingdom of God within. And so they rested in Jerusalem. They remained alert within. And the secret always to us is that if you are not consciously in union with God, you are separated from God. And in that separation, the Spirit cannot descend upon you. The Holy Ghost cannot come forth to express the will of God in you. And so we learn that in our work we must ever be conscious of God. Now, let us look at this dial, this radio dial, and change it in your mind to a dial of consciousness. We'll say that down here on the lower left is man. And that's where our consciousness normally remains. And as we go up that dial, spinning over, we come to God. And that's where the consciousness normally does not remain. And in between, we come through the material conditions of the world. Now, it may seem simple at this stage to say it, but there was a time when it would never occur to us that if our consciousness did not rest on God, that the Spirit of God could not express in us. And now we must see that is the simple truth we must know. If you, for example, are resting in the consciousness of you, the Spirit of God cannot descend upon you. And the more you are resting in you, the more you are separated from life itself. Now life, in order to be attained, is reached through death. And this word dying becomes very significant in our rebirth. To begin the ascent from death to life is something we are very reluctant to even face. But once you have passed the chapter, new horizon, you have made within yourself certain admissions. And if there is a total acceptance of the message of that chapter, if there is a soul response, these admissions are that this world, all of it, no matter what you may see, is not the creation of God, but is the money dream. This material world is the deadness from which we must be born anew. That because God did not create matter, matter has no existence. And so we are at the point where we are faced with a decision. Matter, having no existence and no law of God to sustain it, we cannot be in a material body. And we must discover where we are. Matter having no material existence in God. Jesus did not exist in a material body and therefore could not be crucified. Nor could the material body of Jesus be resurrected. We are faced with the fact that matter has never existed except in what is now known as our mental universe. And all of Scripture becomes vitally alive as we see its purpose is to reveal, first, the non-existence of what we have called our world, its sole existence being in our mental beliefs, and lift us out of the unreality of this mental existence into a universe present but invisible to our mental capacities. And in this new universe, to discover a new self, a new consciousness, a new I instead of the old me. And very strangely, there's nothing of yourself you can take into this new Jerusalem. As long as there's a remnant of you, you do not come in to life. There must be a total release of the you that you think you are in order to attain the I that awaits you in the new city, the new consciousness. And so all of our preparation has been to give us the strength to face the material world of form, of condition, and even those cherished beliefs which we would never dream of giving up, but which we discover now becomes a necessity if we aspire to the highest experience that is possible on this earth. And that experience is this New Jerusalem. That is the birth of the new self. And because it is a new self, the old self is forgotten. When the new self dawns, the old self is not remembered. That which you have been is as completely part of all the yesterdays as the former lives you may have lived on this earth. As you cannot remember what you did 500 years ago, in your new self, you will not be concerned about what the old self did. The new self does not walk in a physical form. The new self does not walk in this world. The new self does not seek happiness, prosperity, health, contentment, security. The new self seeks none of these things. The new self simply knows that I am the infinite being. And the word infinite becomes not a word but an experience. The new self becomes not a series of quotations but an experience. And it is up to us now to see what is meant by this new self. We were told in the wisdoms that when you know that God is not in the human scene, really understand it, you will be able to lay down your life and pick it up at will. Now that really means that you will be able to change from a finite self to an infinite self at will, from a material self to a spiritual self at will, from a third dimensional consciousness to a fourth at will. And it's very possible that you can feel this here this afternoon. The dial of consciousness, starting from you to God, is the way you're going to mount in consciousness and let your thought rest for a moment on God. Spirit, light, truth, harmony, peace, reality, timelessness, is. Keeping all thought away from you. And as you rest on God, or even in between you and God, merely letting thought rest in an area where there is no awareness of you, and then no awareness of other mortal beings, no awareness of matter, no awareness of the world of the senses, just arresting easily, ever so gently, completely relaxed, with not the slightest bit of effort on your part, letting you go. completely dependent on no thought of your own, willing to drop all that you are, willing to live in a universe of the spirit where there is no human mind to direct any affairs, where there are no physical forms, where there are no conditions of any nature, just resting there easily, and now even more gently, and again more gently, until you are coming to a point of nothingness, where there is hardly a you at all. And finally, where there is no thought whatsoever, only the realization of nothingness. A leaf floating in nothingness. Itself, the transition is made for you in this absence of you. You will discover yourself alive and conscious in another place. It will not be in a form. You will not think of yourself as a form or even as a consciousness. You will simply be conscious. And you will discover that when this happens to you, you are in a new self, a self that you may have never experienced before, a self that lives not in a world, not in a body, not in a person, but simply is, a self that can never be penetrated by the evils of the world. This self will dawn as your new consciousness. It will be the beginning of the New Jerusalem. You will understand that it is truly a new you. It has no relationship whatsoever to anything you have ever been. It is beginning, as it were, all over again, right here, where you appear, this new consciousness begins, and it erases all that you ever were. It is the first thread of your Christ self consciously experienced. It is completely out of the form. And it is the infinite self touched, realized, and consciously understood as a living experience. And when it happens, you will never be the same, because you will know that the transition which Jesus himself went through, which the Spirit taught to the disciples, has touched and awakened you to the point that you are leaving the old habitation. You are leaving the old wine bottle. You are leaving the old garment. You are releasing yourself from you and able to walk in the invisible as a transparency through which the visible becomes manifest. Now, all around you is infinity. And your new self, your real eternal self, the real Jerusalem, that self which is the new consciousness, the stone not made with hands, is an infinite self. And for you to make the transition in consciousness, you must know more about the infinite nature of that self. You must see, for example, that right where you are is an infinity that cannot be cognized with a finite mind. And you must experience that infinity. You must realize that God, Spirit, is never less than itself, and that the miracle of infinity is that it is infinite everywhere. Right where you are is the same infinity that exists 3 feet away from you or 3 million miles away from you. There is no place within infinity where infinity is less than infinite. And so right where you are this instant, there is an infinite self present. That infinite self is not a limitation of love, or a limitation of finance, or a limitation of life. That infinite self where you are is the infinity of all that Spirit is, individualized right where you are, so that this infinite nature of self is present in every point of itself. Right on your fingertip is infinity. And no less. And wherever you may be at any given moment, the fullness of infinity is. And as you reach the point of human nothingness, this infinity gently slides in and becomes your consciousness. You lay down your life and infinity picks it up. And you have the infinite life as your life, right where you have laid down your finite sense of life. Omnipresent infinity, in the absence of a finite consciousness, becomes your life, realized, experienced, expressing, and revealing itself with signs. When you feel this, you are in the New Jerusalem. You have received the infinite, and you have dissolved the human into the infinite, and now I and the Father, the infinite, are one. This truth realized has ever been the truth of your being. And only as you maintain consciousness in God, in Spirit, in the infinite nature of Spirit, and rest there, letting the human self, the human concepts, the human beliefs, the cherished notions of I as a physical being all drop away, only then, in this total crucifixion of the belief that there is a me, is the New Jerusalem born. In this New Jerusalem, in this experience of self, not as a limited self, not as a finite form, you become aware of the timelessness of all being. And in that glimpse of heaven here now, you are one with all who walk in the Spirit throughout the spiritual universe. Infinity embraces all who walk in the awareness of the new self. Now, this conscious transition is what all of us are going through. Day by day, as we lay aside the beliefs in the evils of this world, in the goodness of this world, and reject the temptation to seek good hypnotism instead of bad hypnotism, we maintain the dial of our consciousness always away from the human self. Not only my human self, but your human self. Not only your human self, but everyone's human self, so that the dial of your consciousness is ever in conscious union with the Spirit. You are doing what the disciples were taught to do. Wait for me in Jerusalem. Wait for me in conscious union with the Spirit of God, which is your own being. That kingdom of God within you is infinite. And when you accept that Spirit is infinite everywhere, then you have caught the miracle of infinity, the magic and marvel, the wonder of the fact that infinity is everywhere and always there in spite of every appearance to the contrary. In this touching of the kingdom of God within, we are conscious that infinity is expressing everywhere in all its perfection. And therefore we know there is no evil on this earth to be removed or to be overcome. We are above the sense illusion of evil in the acceptance of infinite omnipresence. We have moved to that degree out of the mental universe. And once you have glimpsed this, you are living in the only universe there is. You are living in the soul universe. You are living in a new consciousness. You are living in the holy city, the house not made with hands. Now, you may not jump from the third to the fourth dimension permanently, but you will have your vision of it, your taste of immortality, and then the rest of the journey from sense to soul, from third to fourth dimension, from the old Jerusalem to the new, is on the acceptance of your identity, not only as Spirit, but as infinite Spirit. Not only as the One Self, but as the infinite One Self. Until you know that New Jerusalem means the One Infinite Self realized as my identity. It will do no good for us to try to remember words, for at this level, experience takes place of the words. At this level, you are coming to the point where your consciousness is a blessing. It is the light, no longer hidden under a bushel. You are the living beatitudes realized. You are in the infinite Spirit, meek unto the infinite Spirit, at peace, righteous, living in the rhythm and will of the Spirit. And all of the beatitudes in you have come to the point of Christing, so that where you stand is no more a human consciousness, but you are absent from that body. You are present in the infinite realization of self. You are able to look out upon the world knowing that whatever is there, visible, is not God and therefore is not the reality of being. In the tasting of your immortal infinite self, you overcome the illusion of the world. Now this is an important transition in which you cannot look back without losing what you have found. We have read the chapter New Horizon, but we cannot merely move in on a borrowed consciousness. Just as Moses couldn't take his people into the Promised Land, neither could Joel take us. One week you read New Horizon, the next week you read New Jerusalem. But there may be 1,000 years in between them. And so, as we begin to feel the New Horizon, it is because the consciousness of those who have passed through this experience embraces us now. Invisible to us, surrounding us, are those who have gone through the experience of the New Jerusalem and have walked out of the flesh into the universe that we are becoming aware of. And it is their love that now lifts us beyond all of our human capacities, outside of ourselves, as it were. And we begin to see that our minds have blocked off a little area called this life, this world, this time and this place, which we have temporarily accepted, which we have fought to retain. But in this moment of transcendental opening to the truth, in this great vision of self, we are willing to let all of human life go by, knowing it was never me. We are glimpsing our life eternal, a life in which all of the yesterdays are gone, a life in which there is something very few of us have ever heard about, a life in which there is a thing called eternal newness, in which there is no single moment that is exactly the same as the moment before it. There is pure, infinite progression. And this eternal newness is the experience you begin to know in your new self. And then you see why clinging, patching the old garment with a new patch, or pouring new wine into the old bottle simply will not do. We let go. And something within us gives us that strength and courage and vision, knowing that only when we let go are we really born into life. We must let go of the womb of creation to be born into the life, which is the life of God itself. And then God, Spirit, lives its life, and we are that life. There cannot be two. There cannot be God and a human consciousness. There cannot be God life and a human clinging to human life. this is the transition which the disciples attained when they had left their nets, when they had learned that they could trust the infinity of spirit to live itself as them, when they were no longer clinging to the old man, when they could look at their own physical bodies and know this too must go. Now this is the message that was brought into the world, and it is a message that grows of itself in spite of anything that you or I can do, for it is actually the voice of spirit living itself, moving through each of us, taking each of us and splitting the shell of a false self so that the new self may shine through. It isn't what we had expected. It isn't a human made good. It isn't a human made virtuous. It isn't a mortal being made happy, healthy, and secure. It is a transition into life before the advent of what is called death. It is new consciousness that is reshaping all who walk the earth in all levels of their consciousness. And in this new awareness, we learn to look out at our fellow man with a different kind of love, a different kind of understanding. For we see there no longer what the eye sees, no longer what the mind had visibly evidenced. We see there the one perfect, infinite self that no human eye can see. And we see it on faith alone. We see it on the faith that is born of this new self, this new infinite self. And we discover the reason we had not seen it before, the reason we had been unable to love our neighbor before, was because through a finite mind, a finite self, we have no way of comprehending the infinite self that stands before us. Only the infinite can behold the infinite. And only the infinite self of you realized can behold the infinite love, the infinite peace, the infinite abundance, the infinite beauty that surrounds all of us, invisible to the finite human sense. In this taste of your own infinite self, you can stand at every given point on this earth, knowing the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, meaning infinity, is infinite everywhere. There is no place where the Spirit is not at full strength. And so right where you stand, the miracle of infinity is performing, but not visible to your finite sense. Now as you, in the silence, die to the finite self, as you gently let this happen, you are laying down your life. You are laying down your finite sense of what you had called life. You are changing life streams from the material, the mortal, the finite, to the spiritual, the immortal, the infinite. But you do not attain the infinite, for it already is yourself. You merely lay down that which you are not. I was searching for a way to explain the laying down of that which you are not, and I thought of a napkin up on a shelf here, and I wanted the napkin down here, and there was something holding the napkin. And I thought, well, we'll just remove what holds it and let the napkin fall down. Because this is how you come into the infinite self. You remove something, and then something happens. And as I was going through trying to figure out how I was going to explain it, I was reminded of someone who did it better. In a way that, at the time I read it, was not comprehensible to me in its fullness. And that was Maimonides, the 11th century mystic in Spain, who, in a passage in a book he wrote, Guide to the Perplexed, explained that this car on the hill going down and a brick in front of the wheel, he said, you simply remove the brick and the car goes, but you don't do anything about making the car go. You just remove the brick and the car goes. Well, that was something that was a little too deep at the time I read it. But as I was searching for a way to explain how to come into the infinite self, finding this up here that I wanted to fall down here and just remove what held it and let it fall by itself, I realized that's what Maimonides was teaching at that time. And it was a sort of a confirmation that this is the way. And so, to review it, it's this. Your infinite self is always present, but you must roll away your finite self. Then, when there is no two, the only one that remains is your infinite self, and it picks up the thread when you are in a state of non-effort, non-thought. In other words, when you die to this finite self through the gentle relaxing of all that you are in thought, the infinite self takes over for you. You remove the brick and the car begins to go downhill. You don't have to turn on the ignition. I've tried this quite a number of times since it happened, and always there is a release out of the personal and the feeling of a vast, immense intelligence which swallows you up. And this infinite intelligence then becomes the intelligence of your being, for there's no longer a second self there, a second mind, a second thought, a second concept or belief to stand in the way, separating you from your own infinite intelligence. Now, we've just had a great turning point then, when the mind universe is being removed, dissolved, and the soul universe is turning within us, opening us to itself, revealing that I am come, I am here, and in me there is only the perfection of God. Right behind your mental universe is the soul universe of perfection, and it is the reality where you discover the white stone, the throne of the Father, the morning star, that life which never goes out again and never has to come back again, the life that knows no age, no time, and does not even need a sun and sky, for there is no night there, and the spirit is its own sun, its own light, its own warmth. We have felt and have experienced and have seen things which just shortly ago, as time goes, were incomprehensible to us. But now we know that the complete experience of Jesus on this earth was the externalized representation of the I of our own being, exhibiting to us its capacities, its truth, its power. I, self, dangerous, sir. I and Father are one self. No longer do I go to an external God. No longer do I worship that men may see I am holy. No longer do I seek a second self outside of my infinite self. And so now I, the New Jerusalem, and the living church. There is no church to go to, for I am that church. I am the living Spirit of God, which is infinite. And now I have one infinite being.